Yeah, good morning, Chess. I'm really excited this morning to be here. Like Sonika said, I'm Stephen Montgomery, my wife Yvette, and I'm an industrial engineer. I work for Mercedes. Woohoo! And my wife she's a dietitian. She worked for Hanley Buerta, who's also in the church, and Leon's wife. So that's also woohoo! And Sonika just mentioned that Andre is actually preaching in Paul this morning. And he said he's finding it a little bit difficult because he has to translate now the sermon he had to translate back into Afrikaans. He's so used to preaching in English. But this morning what I wanted to tell you, it's quite cool she said I'm a blessing. But what I actually wanted to say to you guys this morning is that each one of you are a blessing here this morning. And we need to get our minds wrapped around this, that God has actually made us to be a blessing for East London, and a blessing to each other, and a blessing to this this world. Scripture says that we were wonderfully and fearfully made. It also says that we were made in the likeness of and the image of God. Now, isn't that amazing? You know, to think that we were created in the image of the Creator, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, He created the heavens and He created the earth, but He wasn't satisfied. Then He chose to create us as mankind, and that actually overwhelms me to think that we are made in the image of God. But turn to the person next to you and just say, "You're a blessing." And say, I am a blessing. Okay, good. Let's just pray before we get into the word. Father, I just thank you for this morning, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the greatest gift of all, Father, that we've heard this morning again, that you laid your life down. Thank you, Lord, for salvation this morning, Lord. We rejoice with the heaven and we rejoice with the angels. And Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit will come this morning and minister to each one of us individually, Lord. And come and reveal to us the gifts, specifically the gifts that you've placed on our life. I just pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning we're speaking about stewarding your talents. I want to ask you the question, why do you think it is important for us to steward our talents, the gifts, the strengths, abilities that God has given us? Why do you think that is important? Another thing that I just remembered now, that before I get to the scripture, is my wife always reminds me she says I'm a smile, otherwise I look too serious when I preach, so I'm going to do it now and get it over with. Okay, so I've smiled now I can do the word. So let's read them, but keep that question in your mind. Why do you think it is important for us to steward the gifts or the talents that God has given us? Let's read in Matthew 25:14-29. There's quite a bit of scripture, so hang in there and listen. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he had received the 5 talents, went and traded with them, and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 talents, 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground, and hid his lord's money. After a long time, the lord of those servants came and settled account with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you've delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them.' His lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over the few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord.' He also had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, you have delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents beside them.' His lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord.' Then he who had received 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talents in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the banker, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who had 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Sure, what a big piece of scripture there. And this is just a beautiful, the parable of the talents. And Jesus is speaking here to his disciples. And before we go on in this message, I want to actually point 7 things out there that is important for this morning's message. And what I believe God is, what he was actually telling his servants or his disciples through this parable, and what he also wants to tell us. The first thing that we must see there is that the traveling person, we can say, is God. The traveling person is God. It's actually Jesus who came from heaven to earth, who dwelt here on earth, and with his servants, and before he went back to heaven, actually gave his servants gifts. When he left up, he said he's going to leave something behind. He left the Holy Spirit, but he left gifts with his servants. And we know also that he's going to come back one day. And one day we as servants are going to have to give account to those to what we've done with those talents that we've received from God. So that's the first thing. The traveling man is equal to God. Now the servant that this parable speak of, that's actually me and you. That's the people that stayed behind. I stay behind you on earth when Jesus rose to heaven. The third thing is the goods or the talents that God gave us, that he gave his servants. We need to realize whose is that? Whose is the goods? It's God's. And even though he gives it to us and he gives us full ownership of it, we've got full ownership of it, it still remains God's. And like I said, one day we're going to have to give account to that, and that's why we have to steward our talents, steward our gifts, because we're going to stand before the Lord and we're going to have to give account to what he's given us. So it's important to note that the gifts that me and you have, that God has given us, the talents, the strengths, the abilities, it's actually God's, and for a period of time, he's given it to us, he's borrowed it to us in a sense, that we can look after it and steward it. And later in the message, we'll speak a bit more about how to steward these gifts that God has given us. Then I also want to point out the talent that we've received. What is this talent? The talent actually in this time, it was 1 talent equaled 6,000 denarii. Now, to put it a bit in denarii, was a currency that they used in the biblical times, and not the biblical times, still biblical times, but in that time. But just to put it in perspective, one denarii equaled a full day's labor. So it was the wage for one full day of labor. So we see here one talent equals 6,000 denarii. So 6,000 denarii equals 6,000 days of work. And that equals more than 16 years of work. So why I'm saying this is because I want to show you that God did not give us little. You know, he gave the servant that he gave the least was one talent. That's worth more than, that was worth more than 16 years of labor. So I want us to realize this morning that none of us had the excuse to say that we didn't receive anything from God, or God only dealt a little bit, you know, he dealt me with a little bit. No, no, God is the extravagant giver. When he blesses us out of our socks. He's a good God. He's a good Father. He's a loving Father. He's a kind Father. He wants to bless us. He wants to give us. And he gave all of us blessings. He gave all of us gifts that we once must steward. And the next one is actually, it ties back to that. What is talents? This talents that they spoke about. Talents is actually just talents. You know, gifts, abilities, and strengths. God used it's like a little bit of a pun there. God uses the word talent for monetary value, but actually it's also actually just referring to the gifts that he's given us in terms of our strengths or abilities. Then another important point to mention there is that how did he decide to give the gifts to us? He gave in the parable we see that he gave the gifts according to our own abilities. And that just once again shows the goodness of God. He doesn't want us to just bear any kind of fruit. You know, He doesn't want us to be a little boompie that bears oranges and nachis and pawpaws and bananas. No, no, no. You know, orange tree bears oranges. And similarly for us, He's given us some gifts and strength in His lives. And He's actually, He wants us to bear fruit in those areas. Not just in any kind of area. We don't have to be this kind of super Christian and try to do everything. No, no, He's given us strength that He wants us to steward, and and we only need to bear fruit in that area. And we also, how can I say that we also see this in this parable? You know, He gave the one servant five talents, and he returned five more. But he also, and then he said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But likewise to the one that he gave two talents, he also returned two more, and he also said to him, he didn't make a distinction between the two. He also said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You see, He keeps us accountable for what He's given us. And even for the guy that received one talent, you know, for the servant that received one talent, I believe that if he just had to gone and deposited the one talent in the bank and just at least got some interest back for the Lord, He would probably have also said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Because God is a good God. Amen? But He doesn't enjoy it when we neglect the talents, when we go and heed His talents that He's given us under the ground and forget about those talents. Okay. And then the last point I want to mention there is that there will indeed be a day of judgment where we'll have to be, we'll have to give account to all the gifts and the strength that God has placed in our life. But luckily that is one day of judgment. It's happening somewhere in the future. And I want to focus rather now this morning on how do we discover the gifts that He's given us and how do we start stewarding those gifts that is already given to us. Okay. Sure, okay, that was quite a mouthful. I just want to get some water. My mouth is dry. It's actually amazing how dry your mouth gets here. Okay, so we know now that, let me just page here. So we know that now that we've received gifts, and when we're looking in Scripture, we find, three, if I can say, categories of giftings. You have three groups of giftings we encounter in Scripture. The first is the gifts of the Father that we read of, and we read about them in Romans 12. Then we have the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we read of in 1 Corinthians 12. Then we have the gifts of the Son, Jesus Christ, and that we read of in Ephesians 4. And I would love actually to have gone through all of these gifts this morning, but then we'll probably still be busy tomorrow morning, and half of you will be sleeping. So for today, I just want to focus on the gifts of the Father. And actually, if you read through the Bible systematically, so if you start in Genesis, Exodus, and you go through all the way to Revelation, the first group of gifting that you encounter is the gift of the Father. Then the second one that you encounter is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, you encounter the gift of the Son, Jesus Christ. And I think there's actually some significance in that, and it's been specially placed there. So that's why I wanted encourage you when you start to discover your gifts over this holiday period now, when you start going asking God and starting to discover your gifts, start with the gifts of the Father. Go on to the gifts of the Holy Spirit and then end with the gifts of the Son, Jesus Christ. So let's read. Let's find out what these gifts are, the gifts of the Father. Let's read in Romans. Yeah. Let's read in Romans 12, verse 3 to 8. "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So we find in this piece of scripture, we find seven gifts that God the Father has given us. It's kind of character traits that he's given to us. And we've got them there on the board. The first one is prophecy. Second one, ministry, or some translation says servant. The third one is teaching. The fourth one is exhortation or encouragement. The fifth one, giving. Sixth one, leadership. And the seventh one is mercy. So I want us to now actually get a little bit practical, just a little bit. So I want you to take out a piece of paper or your phone or something that you can write on. Because what I'm going to do now, I'm going to read out like definitions of each of these gifts, a kind of a definition that I found in the Spirit-filled Bible. And I want you, as I read through them, I want you to start looking at which are the gifts that you relate to the most. And I'm actually trusting the Holy Spirit that He'll come and reveal to you what are the gifts of the Father that He's given you. Remember, before we can start to steward our talents or gifts or strengths, we actually need to find out what they are. Okay, so I'm helping you this morning to find out what your gifts are. We're starting with the gifts of the Father to discover what is the gifts that God has given us. So you're already, like JP said, ready to rumble. Okay, identifying your gifts, your strengths, your talents. Prophecy, to speak with forthrightness and insight, to demonstrate moral boldness and uncompromising commitment to worthy values, to influence others with a positive spirit of social or spiritual righteousness. Now, this type of person that moves in prophecy, in the gift of prophecy from the Father, he would be someone that knows black and white. He knows right from wrong, and he has the boldness to stand up in whatever situations, to stand up for the right thing. Secondly, ministry or servant, to minister and render loving general service to meet the needs of others. So this kind of person will just have a servant heart. When something needs to be done, they'll say, I want to do it. I want to be an usher. That's something almost that comes natural. It comes natural to that kind of person when you move in ministry or servant. Teaching, the supernatural ability to explain and apply the truth received from God to the church. Studying of the Word together with illumination by the Holy Spirit provides the ability to make divine truths clear to the people of God. So this person, if you're a teacher, you have the ability to take complex things and make it simple. I guess you take a big chunks and just break it down so that people can understand it, to make it chewable bits of whatever, food. So that's teaching. Four, exhortation, encouragement. To entreat, comfort, instruct, build up, and equip. I think that's quite self-explanatory. To build people up, to encourage, to like to affirm people. Number five, giving. To give with generosity without being seen. Those with resources aiding those without. So this person will be a giver by nature. They'll actually like to give, enjoy to give even. It can be both of your time, your resources, money, doesn't matter. But you just enjoy to give. And lastly, it's number six is leadership. The one standing in front involves the exercise of the Holy Spirit in modeling, superintending, and developing the body of Christ. Leadership is to be exercised with diligence. So a person that has this ability to lead others, they will be very diligent, and naturally they'll have followers. People will want to follow you if you're a leader. And number seven, mercy. To feel sympathy with the misery of others, to relate to others in empathy, respect, and honesty, shown with kindness and cheerfulness. So this person would enjoy counseling, for example. They'll enjoy listening to people's sorrows and what went wrong, and they'll be good at counseling people, and they even enjoy it, and they'll do it with kindness and a cheerfulness. Okay, let me just get some more water again while you write down your gifts. Okay. So hopefully all of you have written down or chosen now at least two of those giftings, okay? Gifts of the Father. Now, the next question is, how do I know? How do I know that these giftings, how do you know that these giftings that you've now chosen are really gifts from God? How do you know that, you know, it's just not, how do you know that it is, in fact, the gift from God? And I want to tell you, it comes very natural, and it's actually very easy to discover if this is a gift from God. So what I want you to do is, the next time you've got the opportunity to move in this gift or to operate in this gift, I want you actually to pay attention to how you feel. Pay special attention to how you feel before doing it, before operating it, while you're operating, and after you've operated in it. For example, if you're a giver, pay attention to how do you feel before you give something to someone. Pay attention, how do you feel while you're giving it? And pay attention, how do you feel after you've given it? I want to tell you that if you're excited about giving and you're looking forward to giving, if you actually enjoy giving, while you're giving, you actually have enjoyment. And after giving, you're actually looking forward to give again, and you've got a sense of satisfaction or fulfillment, most probably that is indeed one of your giftings. Okay? And contrary to that, if you actually despise giving, you really look up, you don't want to give, and while giving you don't enjoy it at all, and after giving you really hope you never have to give again, then probably you don't have the gift of giving on your life. And you might ask me why. You know, how can I say that? How can I say you can just trust your feelings in a sense to discover your gifts? You know, and very simple. I say this on the basis that our God is a good God. He's a good Father, and He wants to bless us. You know, if all the fathers maybe in this place, who of you fathers will give your son or your daughter a gift when you know the gift that you're giving them, they won't enjoy it? I don't think anybody will do that. You know, it's a gift, you know. Gift is supposed to be exciting. It's supposed to be fun. And how much more would our Heavenly Father, who loves us and who wants to bless us, how much more would He not give us gifts that we will actually enjoy? Does it make sense? And actually also want to encourage you to use this technique of going with your feeling, also to discover other strengths, say non-spiritual gifts or strengths that you have, like strengths, different types of sports, or your strengths in sports, or your strengths in the workplace. I think there's many people that do a lot of sports, or they do a lot of exercise or whatever, and they don't enjoy it. They actually don't enjoy doing it, but they might be good at it, and because they're good at it, they feel that they have to do it, but they're not actually enjoying it. And I want to tell you to stop. Now, there's so many sports out there, so many exercises out there. Get something that you enjoy doing. Get something that you love to do, that you look forward to doing. I want to be bold enough to say this morning that if you don't have to be good at something for something to be your strength or your gift. Okay, I'm going to say that again. You don't have to be good at something for something to be your strength or your gift. But you must enjoy it to be your gift. Okay. So actually, When you're actually good at something, or very good at something, but you actually despise doing it, that sounds to me a little bit more like a weakness. Okay, it sounds to me a little bit more like a weakness, because God wouldn't give you gifts and strength in your life if you didn't enjoy it. For me, for example, when I was in school, every year I would participate in athletics, every year. And I was, in a sense, good at athletics, so I did it, and I kept on doing it, but I really hated doing it. Before, I never looked forward to these Boerderachters galas and whatever, and while I was doing it, I did enjoy it, and afterwards, I was just glad that I can wait another year before I have to do it again. But on the other hand, I've started a couple of years ago with surfing, and surfing on the other side is not something I'm good at, but I enjoy doing it. I looked forward to going surfing. While I'm surfing, I'm having so much fun, and I'm enjoying it. After I've surfed, it's strange, but I have a certain feeling of satisfaction, a certain feeling of fulfillment. So what I'm actually saying is that I'm not good at surfing yet, but just watch this space, you know? But when you have a strength on your life, I want to tell you that you don't only have the ability to be good in it. You actually have the ability to be the best in it. Because training for something and shooting something that you're good at, that you enjoy doing, is effortless, right? I mean, if you enjoy something, it's not hard work to go and do it. So does that make sense? But what I'm also just going to stop at this point and say, what I'm not saying is just do things that you feel good about. Okay, I'm not saying that. We know as Christians there's certain things in the Word that God tells us and it's commandments from God. Love your neighbor like you love yourself. That's not about a feeling. Love is a choice. You make a choice to love your neighbor. When God says, go out to all the nations and preach the good news, make disciples of all the nations, it's not a choice. It's not a feeling. It's a commandment. So we go out, we do missions, we reach the nations. So I'm not speaking about that. I'm not speaking about the commandments this morning. And you must feel good about obeying God's commandments. We're speaking about stewarding our talents. And we're speaking about how do we discover those gifts. Okay, and that you can trust your feeling for, to discover the gifts on your life. Amen. So yeah, then in a nutshell, I'm actually almost ending off with this. How do we steward these gifts? So obviously I said first we have to discover what our gifts are, and then we can start to speak about stewardship. But in a nutshell, what is stewardship? How do we steward our gifts? But firstly, like I said, we have to identify our gift. And this morning we've started now with the gift of the Father, and I've helped you to start to discover those gifts. But now you must actually go further in this holidays, and you must go and read also up on the gifts of the Holy Spirit and gifts of the Son, and also in the other areas, just your workplace or your sport or whatever you do, you must also go and read up on that. You know, for example, I at the workplace, in my workplace, for example, to discover my strengths, I have a little book in my cupboard, in my drawer, next to my computer. And whenever I find myself doing a task that I enjoy doing, I just take a quick note of it. And the reason why I'm doing is that, every time I'm doing a task that I enjoy, I just take a note of it. And the reason why I'm doing it is because I want to start realizing what I enjoy doing, so that when there's opportunities, maybe my manager comes to me and says, can someone do this thing? Can someone do this designing? And I love to design. Then I say, yes, I'll volunteer. I'll do designing. And in that way, I'm actually making my work more fun for myself. I'm making my work more enjoyable for myself because I'm operating more and more in my strengths. You understand? And then it actually, you want to come to a place where you can say to your manager that, I actually want to take that work from that person, because I enjoy it so much and I'm good at it and I have so much fun in doing it. And then hopefully you can push some of the other tasks that you don't like out. And you might find out that there's other people in the group, in your team, that actually it's part of their strengths, the things you don't like. Okay, so you can also practice this principle or this method in your workplace. Then the second thing, after you've identified your talent, put away time or plan for time to learn about it. You know, you have to, in a sense, become an expert in that area or that sphere. So if you, for example, enjoy encouraging people, you think you've got the gift of encouragement, this holiday you've got some time, go and buy a book at Kuhn Books, The Joys of Encouragement. And you just go and read the book. You know, find out more about it. Get the knowledge of it. Become an expert in that area. And then thirdly, how do we steward our gifts? Thirdly, take every opportunity to practice it. If you're a giver, give extravagantly. If you're someone that you feel you someone that can exhort or encourage people, you know, go and make a list of 5 people that you pray for and you trust God for specific words for them. And then you just email those words to them, or you go and you tell it to them. You encourage them with that. And if you're someone that enjoy, you think that maybe you've got the gift of mercy on your life, then when you have the opportunity that someone wants to receive counsel, then you say, I want to do it. So we have to start practicing. You know, it's not that we're going to wake up one day and just say, ooh, boom, now we're in our gift now, and we're great, and we're just enjoying it. We've now reached a place where we've grown into our gift. No. It starts with stewardship. It's actually a process, and you have to pursue it. Pursue getting more and more of these gifts. You're operating more and more in the gifts in your workplace, with your studies, with your sports, with your these gifts from the Holy Spirit. You have to actually, you know, go and dig in it and ask God about it, and go and discover them more and more. That's the process of stewardship. So yes, why? Yeah, I know I've been, this is now the last slide. I know I've been a bit here and then everywhere this morning, but I just want to pull the strings together, and in the sense that I want to say that we know that we've been blessed with God, we've been blessed from God with gifts in our lives, okay? And I want to encourage you, be it the gift of the Father, the gift of the Son, the gift of the Holy Spirit, or even the other gifts in your sports. I want to encourage you to start to steward those gifts, start to move in the gifts. Because I believe that if we truly want to be effective in this world, in this lifetime that we live in, we have to operate in our gifts. Again, that's why God has also given us that gift. So why I believe God wants us to steward our gifts. Firstly, He wants us to steward our gifts for the sake of yourself. Once again, God is a good God. Amen. This morning we had so much fun in the worship, and you know, God is a good God and a fun God. It's a good picture of this morning, just celebrating in front of God. God wants us to have fun. He wants us to steward our gifts because He wants us to have fun, and He wants us to have loads of fun. He also wants us to be successful. I don't know if you know it, but God is actually interested, and He wants each of us to be successful in this lifetime. He wants us to have success. And also, I believe that the gifts and the strength that God has given us is there to aid us in our calling. So if you're wondering, what's my calling? I said, just start by discovering your gifts and practicing and operating in the gifts, and you'll already be halfway, but halfway doing your calling. Secondly, why must we steward our gifts? For the sake of the church. You know, the body of Christ. There's a reason why scriptures speak of the body of Christ. We're going to talk about the church. You know, the body has eyes, the body has ears, the body has a nose, the body has feet. You know, the eyes don't focus all the time and say, I must eat, I must eat, I must eat. Nor does the mouth focus, I must see, I must see, I must see. No, the eye just sees, the ear just hears, the finger points. And just like that, each one of us in the body have a specific group of giftings that God has given us so that we can fulfill a specific role in the body of Christ. You know, God, there's no such thing as a super Christian. There's no such thing as a super Christian. A lot of times we think we want to be the super Christian. We want to do everything. We want to be great at everything. But there's no such thing. You know, God didn't design us that way. Why? Because we would have probably stolen His glory. If Brett could have done everything, you know, all the focus would have been on him. And he would have stolen God's glory. But He designed us to be a body. He designed us to cover. He designed us in such a way that we actually need each other for His glory to come. He designed us to that we need each other to cover each other in our weaknesses, in our blind spots. So He designed us in such a way that we as a church, together as a body of Christ, we need to operate together in our strengths. And then we can effectively let the kingdom of God come. Amen.